Session already.
Right, everyone. I am going to call a meeting of the House Committee on Rules. Today is February 3rd, Wednesday. I'm going to open an organizational meeting for the purpose of adopting committee rules.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the committee rules.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved the adoption of the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? No, rules are adopted. I will close the organizational meeting, and I will open a public hearing and work session on HCR 204 and HCR 206. Representative Springer.
Wow, I haven't been down in this room since 08 when it was like 70 people's offices.
Exactly.
It was not a good time.
Or last night at 5.
Pardon?
Yes, or last night at 5 for our training.
or that, yeah. Well, for the record, my name is Sherry Springer. I'm state representative from House District 17. I come from Sayo and 10 other little small communities. I want to say I'm privileged, but I wish I wasn't here, and I wish I was not having this conversation, and I wish I was not talking about these two resolutions. But I am, so I want to do that the right way, the best way possible. And I know that Representative Olson was going to be here today, and we all know that he's had some other things come up and wish he could be here. So on both these resolutions, House Concurrent Resolution 206 for Deputy William Bowman of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department, and House Concurrent Resolution 204 for Deputy Robert Talbert of Washington County Sheriff's. Some friends of these gentlemen will be up to talk about them in a personal sense in a little bit. But I just want to talk briefly about what this means and why do we bother doing it. I mean, we have people sign up for a job, they know that they could die while they're working, and that's just kind of the price you pay, right? Well, I don't think so. I know when I was a deputy sheriff in Grant and Benton counties, I never raised my hand to say, yeah, I wanna get hurt. I raised my hand to say, I wanna uphold the Constitution, the laws of this land, and I wanna keep people safe. I didn't get a bonus if I got hurt. Somebody said one time, you're just trying to get hurt. No, you don't get a bonus. You do this job because you love the job and you love the preservation of the rule of law in this state, and you want to keep people safe and you want to help people. And that's what these two gentlemen did. Very sad circumstances, of course, around both their deaths. In part, the reason we're here discussing this today is it's important to have signs alongside the road recognizing these gentlemen, all of our law enforcement officers, and the price they pay. We have it for military. It's just as important that we have it for our law enforcement folks. And so this is a step in that process. Certainly, I encourage an aye vote on this bill. And I'd like to, Madam Chair, invite the experts, the people that really know know these two gentlemen, knew them, and about their lives and their families. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will answer questions if you have them.
Thank you, Representative Springer. Come on up.
I need more.
And I will ask, as you're sitting down, to remember to say your name for the record when you start speaking. Thank you. Welcome. Go in whichever order you'd like.
Well, Chair Williamson and members of the committee, my name is Bill Steele. I'm the Washington County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy, and I'm here today to talk about Deputy Robert L. Talbert. Deputy Talbert started his career with Washington County Sheriff's Office in 1977. He was on patrol on the evening of December 14th, 1984. He was responding to a burglary in progress call. He was operating a patrol car, responding in emergency fashion. He rounded a corner in the area of Washington County on Cornell Road and Walker Road and hit a patch of mud that was left behind by some construction workers that had been doing work in that area that day. He lost control of his patrol car, went off the road, and struck a utility pole. He died instantly that night. Deputy Talbert left behind his wife, Pam, his daughter, who was about 6.5 years old at the time of the crash, Melody, his parents, and his sister. Deputy Talbert, he was honored to serve the citizens of Washington County. As deputy, the day he was sworn in was an important day to him. It was great joy for him and his family. He took his calling to serve our community very seriously. His passion for the community was undeniable. His dedication to fellow employees was, it couldn't be questioned, it was sincere. He brought to the sheriff's office the love of the outdoors in Washington County. He served on our dive team. He assisted in numerous searches at Hag Lake and assisted other dive teams throughout Washington County and throughout the state. He was a proactive deputy that focused on arresting drunk drivers. He demonstrated an ability to work with victims of crime. He was dedicated to treating domestic violence victims with dignity. He worked hard to find resolutions for them. While preparing for this hearing, I asked others that knew Deputy Talbert, you know, what their memories of him were. A theme quickly developed, and that was that he always had a smile on his face. He always greeted everybody with a, "How you, buddy? How you doing?" And that was important for the agency. He always took time to listen to people and lend an ear when needed. He often took our young teenage search and rescue explorers on ride-alongs on patrol and expressed to them the importance of life balance. And for Deputy Talbert, family and faith were very important to him. And that was a message that he relayed quite often. He served the citizens of Oregon with pride, in distinction, honor, and placing a fallen officer memorial highway sign is a sign to him that we will never forget him and the sacrifices he made that night. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having me here. My name is Shane Strangfield. I'm a lieutenant for the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, currently serving in the role as police chief for the city of Happy Valley. I also have the honor and privilege of being the president of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. I'm here today to talk about William Bowman. I was a deputy killed in the line of duty in September 2000. He was hired with Clackamas County Sheriff's Office in 1994. I had the privilege of being one of his trainees. In 1998, I transferred from corrections into being onto patrol. And I had, if you know a little bit about law enforcement as a trainee, you can imagine what kind of anxiety you have going in to learn about police work and trying to become a sworn law enforcement officer. And I happened to be his phase two and phase five coach, or trainee. What that means is that he was my first coach and my last coach. He was the one that started my training, and he was the one that signed off on me so I could go out and work solo status. So my relationship with Bill Bowman is very personal. Unfortunately, in September 2000, as a member of the SWAT team, he was at a training exercise involved in a scenario-based training where they use simulation rounds and these other things to actually recreate live action in these role-playing kind of exercises that we do. A live round had been introduced into one of the rifles that was being used in that scenario, and he was shot and killed by one of our own in September 2000. As you can imagine, it was a devastating part in the history of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, whose repercussions are still felt today, not only by the Sheriff's Office, but the survivors. He was survived by his wife, Corey, a brand-new baby daughter. So he was survived by two daughters. He had just had a new baby, his mother and his sister, including all of his coworkers in the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. So what do these road signs mean to not only the agencies, but the survivors and the community that's involved in these? It's a great reminder. We Mary and I, who we'll talk next, kind of help organize the annual Law Enforcement Memorial Department of Public Safety Standards and Training in Salem. As part of that ceremony, there's a luncheon where survivors come and they have an opportunity to be together and be recognized and kind of have a bonding. Last year, we were able to have a couple road signs at that ceremony that were revealed, and I can tell you that it's very meaningful to the survivors in the state of Oregon of law enforcement line of duty deaths to see that their memory for their sacrifice and service continues on and on. And so I would urge you to I don't know if I can say this, but I will. I would urge you to vote yes for in favor of this House Concurrent Resolution 206 in favor of William Bowman.
You can absolutely say that.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Williamson and members of the committee. My name is Mary Nunnenkamp. I'm retired from the Washington County Sheriff's Office after 40 years of service. And I sit here in front of you as the chair of the Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial Trust Fund. And this group is comprised of Sheriff Wolf, who represents the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, Chief Dryden, who represents Oregon Police Chiefs Association, Senior Deputy Hodek, representing Oregon Peace Officers Association, and Jim Whitehead, who represents our Oregon Concerns of Police Survivors. I had the honor, bear with me, of knowing both of these men. I was actually supervising the night that Robert Talbert was killed. And I can tell you that from the moment that we discovered he had been killed to today, I can tell you everything we did for 3.5 hours that morning. It never leaves. Robert left behind his wife, Pam, as Bill indicated, and Melody at 6.5. She'll be 38 in April. So she spent really her entire life without her dad. For Corey, her baby Grace was only 2 months old, and Lauren was only 3 years old. What I want you to know about these families, what I want you to know about Pam Talbert Kaiser and Corey Bowman Gussie, is that both of them took the worst moment in their lives and have dedicated themselves to helping others. Shortly after Robert was killed, the national concerns of police survivors was starting to get ramped up, and they needed someone to create the Oregon chapter. And a grieving widow stepped up with other grieving widows and parents and siblings and children, and they created an organization in Oregon. Both Corey and Pam continue to support that organization, and Corey works very strongly with the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. And that nonprofit, where they step up at that worst moment, and they hold those survivors and help with memorials and take care of all the things. When my husband was killed, he was killed off duty 10 years ago. And my department, Washington County Sheriff's Office, came into my house at a moment when I didn't have a clear thought in my head. But this group, these men sitting next to me, I'm so honored to know them, they step up. The sign for us survivors is so critical in that it's a way of sharing with the families that we're not going to forget their loved one. The financial impact of these signs is none to the state or to the public. The Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial Trust Fund pays for them, and it's our honor to do that. I, along with these gentlemen, just really urge you to support us and honoring all of our fallen heroes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? Well, I want to thank all three. Oh, go ahead, Representative Kenemer.
Yes, sir. Comment, and it's a difficult comment to make. I was a commissioner in Clackamas County in 2000, and there were some circumstances at the training camp that are just purely reprehensible, and that makes this tragedy twice as bad, or maybe 1,000 times as bad. I'm not sure what the number is, but it's too bad. I'll just leave it at that.
I just want to thank you on behalf of the committee for coming and sharing the story and the lives of Deputy Talbert and Deputy Bowman, and sharing with us a little bit about them and their family and their service. So I know that a roadside sign, that the part that we play in that is very small, so it's an honor to be able to play that part in honoring these two fallen officers. So thank you for giving us that opportunity as well.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
I don't think your role is as small, if that's okay if I say I don't think you're right, and here's why. on February 9, in the morning of that session on the House floor, we're going to hear HCR 204 and 206, and survivors will be there. This is a big deal to us, folks. It really, truly is. This is a big deal to us, so we are honored that you even do this, because I know you have busy schedules. But for those few minutes, when you talk about our fallen, that's huge to us, so we want to thank you for that.
Like I said, thank you for letting us be a part of honoring them. Thank you. All right. We are in work session on both, so I can take a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect, I move HCR 204 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam moves HCR 204 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? If not, motion passes. The carrier on that will be Representative Barker. I'd take another motion as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, with respect, I move HCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam moves HCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, motion passes. And Representative Andy Olson will be the carrier of that bill. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing and the work session on HCR 204 and 206. Thank you very much for being
here.
Thank you. And before the committee runs away, before I adjourn, I just wanted to take a minute to say, with the exception of today, we'll have full agendas in the future, and with the potential of being at a 5:30 floor session in the amount of testimony that is often brought to these, to the issues in rules. It's my intention to move our bills on the same deadlines as other committees. And that means with, like I said, the additional floor session, we're going to need to move at a pretty quick pace as far as taking testimony. Of course, spending enough time on each bill to be thoughtful, but to keep the schedule moving. So it's my intention that we will ask people to keep their testimony to 2 to 3 minutes and to address the issues that have not been discussed previously or in submitted written testimony. So we'll make sure that the written testimony is available to everybody, and I will encourage people to submit written testimony. But I wanted to make sure that everyone knew kind of my intentions, no matter what the topic, on how we will deal with busy agendas. So with that, we're adjourned. Thank you all. Adjourned. Thank you all. So with that, we're